So let's have a look at an example where our preconditions are not as fancy as in the last example. So this would be the grammar over here, which is only featuring one non-terminal. And the actual conflicts in this one are maybe not as easily visible as in the last example. So let's have a look at the right derivations of this one. So these are the ones that you can see over here. And what is the actual problem there? Well, there is shift reduce conflicts in there for an LO1 parser. And where would that be? Let's have a look at, for example, the handle over here. This is a prefix of the handle from over there. So we need to have look ahead in order to disambiguate them. So let's look at the next symbol, which is exactly the same for both cases. So look ahead of one is not sufficient in order to disambiguate between those two. Yeah, so this instead we have to look one symbol to the right, and there we can disambiguate them. So this is LR2. Well, I say LR2, it's LR2 at least. I haven't enumerated all the possible rightmost derivations of that particular bit. Yeah, so this might be even more. So let's have a look at how to remove this shift reduce conflict. So first of all, we need to make the symbol that the that is the obstacle explicit here. So this is would be this A symbol. This has to be moved to neighboring to the symbol to which to reduce to. So the shift reduce conflict happened here for this production. So what we need to do is we need to move the occurrence of this A next to where this S is found in the grammar. And well, where could that be? Well, this is that position here. Here, the S can be neighbored by something to the right, and we would need to have the A symbol explicitly mentioned, moved to here. Yeah. So where do we take this A symbol from now? In the last example, we had the obstacle terminal directly found next to the non-terminal. However, here in our case, this is a non-terminal. So what we have to do now is we have to write, extract the symbol from the context. So how do we do that? Again, this is a transformation of the grammar. And you see the first step being carried out here. So out of this symbol S, we now have to extract the conflict, the obstacle, the obstacle terminal symbol, and this would be the terminal symbol A. So what we introduce here is now the terminal symbol A being extracted from S as a new non-terminal, same as we had, or similar to what we had before, and now have this this terminal being extracted from there. However, this is not enough since this S could also have something different to A as is as its first first terminal to be found. And well, what are the first terminals that are possible for S? These we can directly read off from here. So also B is a possible the first symbol of S. So just for completeness sake, we have in order to be the same expressive as the production before, we also have to present an alternative where B is the right context by introducing this B extracted version of S together with the actual B being extracted. Yeah, and other than that, all the alternatives remain the same, like A and AAC. Good, with that clear now, what we now have to do is, well, we have to tell how the B and A extracted versions of S look like. So let's have a look at how that works for S, for example. So for that, we again check how S is derived. And S has two cases of alternatives that produce A, which would be this and this. So what we do is we take that A away from the beginning of the right-hand side for the A extracted S version. So this one looks like those two productions with the first A being taken away, which results in this one here. And same we do for the B prefixed right-hand side for S in order to get the B extracted version of S. Yeah. However, in there we still have an S followed by an S, which creates a situation where we get a shift reduced conflict possibly. So we also have to again make the context extracted from that S. So instead, we will go over to using this one here, and now we are more or less in the right context extracted form. Yeah. So this is the first step. We have to establish the situation that we have been already that we already had for our last example by extracting the right context of the conflicting production. Yeah. So that's what we see here. Now we have to propagate this newly extracted right context into the actual conflicting Samuelson productions. So we emanate from our right context extracted form and now have to push these terminals into the actual conflicting symbols and their derivations. So this would be, for example, here pushing the A in there and there pushing the A in there. Yep. Okay, so that's what we're gonna do now. So first we create the context propagated version of S over here and over here. For that, we need to give how this is now derived. And well, this is like the old S has been, just with like the A at the end of everything. So there we append the A to each and every alternative that we have there. And with that, we then also have to give a similar thing for the S occurrence in there, since there's also an A. The S occurrence here is also followed by an A, so we also would have to push the A into this one here. So this is why we introduce another symbol with the A now propagated into this one from the end, which will create this production. And with that, we have successfully propagated the symbol into each and every production. And with that, oh well, what we haven't done, see, is here is another occurrence of S that is getting an A propagated into. So for that, we also have to provide another production, which is this one by the same logic as before, and there we still have the same thing, but this can be now mapped to the already existing productions, so we refer to those ones. So you see there's a lot of grammar transformations going on. Productions are heavily modified, and we end up with a grammar which is pretty large considered to the one that we had here in the right context propagated form, and this one has also been growing a lot. So all in all, what we find is that the example grammar, which was just one non-terminal and three variants, has been blown up into this fellow here with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 non-terminals and a lot of variants. Yeah, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 variants all produced from that. So yeah, this is what you get when you do this algorithm. And with that, I have only shown you how to deal with the most general problematic situations that you find there, particularly like having to extract the right context and pushing it down. And there's a lot of other transformations that need to be done on these grammars in order for these two transformations to be applicable. And yeah, they all add up. Yeah, so the grammars do grow a lot in this. Of course, you can do a few optimizations to those grammars again, but all in all, it's a heavy price that you pay for making your grammar into an LR1 grammar. Also, you lose a lot of the original structure. I don't know whether you can still see this originally very simple structure that we had in this grammar, whether you can recognize how this grammar is transformed. Well, I can't, and this is also one of the problems of that approach. And yeah, but what you have to keep in mind is that, well, getting rid of the need for the LR2 parser generation, and instead move to the LR1 parser generation, there is probably a sort of blow up expected, since the LR2 automaton that would have to be created is in its size depending on the look ahead window in an exponential fashion. Yeah. And if you then transform the grammar in a not exploding way, how can you really expect the new grammar to really reflect all the properties of the old one? So some kind of exponential blow up is probably to be expected. Yeah.